Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ BeGambleAware.org.
Hi there. Warm welcome to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. It's Bruce Millington, Paul Keighley, Graham Rodway and Paddy Power's James Ryan. Looking ahead to a sensational Saturday at Newmarket, where we've got one of the best two-year-old races I can remember for ages, and the fiendishly tough Cambridgeshire as well. We've got two races on ITV4 at Haydock Park to supplement the Newmarket action. There's some really decent stuff elsewhere, including in the Curragh on both Saturday and Sunday. The lads are primed and ready to bring you all the best weekend wagers. Let's start with the four live races on ITV4 at Newmarket. Three absolutely crackerjack two-year-old races and then a zillion runner handicap, which looks pretty impossible to me, but hopefully the lads have solved it. We'll start with the 150. It's the Royal Lodge Stakes, won, of course, by the great Frankel, and also other good tools like Roaring Lion. It's over a mile, Group 2. How do Paddy Power bet, James?
Yeah, and just to start off, we have money back as a free bet if Camco wins this race up to a tenner. So if you fancy something else in this race, you know, it's probably worth betting with Paddy Power. Camco is our 6-4 favourite, followed by Highland Chief at 7-2, Year of the Tiger 5-1, Pile Driver 7-1, Surf Dancer 9-1 and 10-1 bar.
And that great offer, a cashback if the Fav doesn't win, is available at paddypower.com and on the Racing Post app. Paul Keighley, lead on. Who's going to win this?
Yeah, I think Camco is a worthy favourite. Obviously, that second to positive is okay form. I think he's an absolute standout though, and then I'm looking forward to seeing Highland Chief again. And I'm back to Matt Ascot in the Chesham. Thought I'd found a tidy looking outsider, and he ran up against Pinatubo, but he finished third. It was a good effort. It was a bit 4.5 lengths, which is closer than most horses are getting to Pinatubo these days. He's not actually bred to be an early season horse, so I mean, to run, you know, he started off over 5 furlongs first of all. He wants, you know, he's going to want this trip, and I just think he'll run well. I think he's been put away for an autumn campaign, and I imagine if all goes well, it'll be the Futurity next at Doncaster.
I should say, by the way, you fancy loads this weekend.
Absolutely loads, yeah. I had another one of my sleepless nights last night, so I actually gave up very early, and I've just been sitting going through, you know, race after race after race, so I've got loads today.
So this isn't your strongest fancy, but
no, not Highland at all, Lodge, not all, no. Yeah, Highland Chief would be the worst.
Highland Chief, even. Sorry, mate. Who are you going to launch your Saturday attack on the bookies with, G-Rod?
A bit boring, but I thought the favourite would win, Cameco. Didn't do a lot right at Sandown, behind positive. Very green, looked to need the experience. Got badly outpaced, and then Stormdome to finish second, beating the nose, would have won in another couple of strides. I thought he looked like a real powerful stay-in type, so the step up to a mile is going to suit him. By Kitten's Joy, they usually handle a bit of cut. I think Cameco will win.
Are you confident this weekend generally, G-Rod?
I am very confident this weekend, yeah, yeah. But this is one of those great punting weekends, isn't it? Cambridgeshire, a really, really tricky handicap that we love to get our teeth into, and then leading on to next week with the Ark, obviously.
Absolutely. James, who do you think is going to win the 150, the Royal Lodge?
Yeah, I'm siding with G-Rod here at Cameco. I just thought the form looked fairly solid, and they ran a really, really high time figure that day, suggesting that it was a true run race of high quality. He's a really lovely moving horse. I think he's going to be really balanced, so I don't think Newmarket will be of any issue with regards coming in and out of the dip. I think the extended trip over a mile, the last day was obviously 7 furlongs. The fact he was staying on so well and got a little outpaced earlier, I think that mile will really see him maybe be able to fulfill his potential. And obviously the Vic Kitten Qatar obviously have a bit of a good record with Kitten's Joy, so it'd be nice. I think he could win anyway.
Okay, we step up to Group 1 next, the 225. It's the Judmont Cheveley Park Stakes. James, give us a show.
Raffle Prize are 11-10 favourite, followed by Trop Bow at 4-1, Living in the Past 7-1, Etoile 8-1, Dark Lady 9-1, Mazeel 10-1, Tango 14-1, 16-1 bar.
G-Rod, I guess the pre-morning is the key race for both of our next races, isn't it? This and the middle part, because it provides the favourites. Raffle Prize just got beaten by Earthlight in its last time out. What do you think will happen here? Are you going to go for another jolly?
Yeah, sadly, yeah. But no, you're right. The pre-morning looked a hot race beforehand, didn't it? I thought it looked a strong race. Obviously, Arlie, who finished in behind, come out and won the Flying Childers at Donny. So the form looks fairly solid. Golden Horde obviously ties in with Threat, who's won a couple of two-year-olds. Golden Horde was third. Earthlight won it, and Raffle Prize was second. And obviously that was in against the Colts, whereas Raffle Prize going back in against her own sexier. She really should have too much class for them. She'd proved herself the best filly in Britain, two-year-old filly in Britain before going into that race. So I think Raffle Prize will win. Of course, we don't know how good Trot Bow is going to be for Andre Farb coming in pretty unexposed and could be anything, but she'd have to be pretty smart to beat Raffle Prize.
Okay. Graham's gone for the first two jollies. You've gone for the first jolly. You're going to go for the first two, James?
No, I just think, yeah, I mean, she's going to be very hard to beat, but I'm willing to take her on here, and I'm also willing to take on the Fab Horse, so I'm just not sure we'll handle Newmarket too well. But I'm going to take a bit of a swing on Tango here. You know, while she's been slightly below this grade all year and is a bit defined in Raffle Prize from the Albany form, she just hasn't been ridden very efficiently in her last few starts, either being a pacemaker or held up way at the back when the pace was slow. And she got fairly squeezed the last day in the Moigler when she was actually running on pretty well and she was still leading to the furlong pole. So I don't think the drop back and trip will be of any harm to her. She was still only beaten two lengths that day. And just with the price that Raffle Prize is now, I'm willing to take her on, especially with Tango when she's 14-1. I think there's a good each way play in her.
Kiehl's, what do you make of this one?
Yeah, I think Raffle Prize is the price she should be. I mean, earlier in the week, she was the same price as Earthlight was to win to Middle Park. And Earthlight, you know, only beat her a neck, and he's got to beat horses that are much, much better than the horses that Raffle Prize are beating on the evidence so far. So I think she fully deserves it. She's only been beaten by one filly. That was Darye on her debut. She comfortably turned that around in the Duchess of Cambridge at Newmarket after winning the after winning at Royal Ascot. And that... in the Queen Mary, and I think she's just the absolute standout selection. I don't know anything about the French horse Trot Bow, but it's been running over 7 furlongs. It's very rare for a horse to come back from seven furlongs to win this race. I think the last one was something like Say a Darty in 1991 or something like, you know. So it's an unusual campaign to be dropping back to a Group One sprint, and yeah, I think she's by far the most solid of the favourites.
You both called her Trot Bow. It's Trobo. Do you know what that means?
No.
Too beautiful.
Is it?
Yeah, not anything, not something anyone's ever said to either of you. 3 o'clock, the Judmont Middle Park Stakes. What an absolute belter.
I said it to you then, have I?
No, of course not. taking the wind out of myself, but I'm very excited for this race. This is a real cracker. I'm fascinated to see what the lads think before they give us their opinions. James, what is the latest from Paddy Power?
Yeah, Earthlight is our 13-8 favourite, followed by Mum's Tipple at 5-2, Siskin 7-2, Monarch of Egypt 9-1, Lupe Fernandez 10-1, Threat 10-1, and 16's bar.
Right, all the bookmakers have got this wrong. Mum's Tipple should be favourite and will win. That's my opening gambit. James, do you agree with me, or do you think I'm wrong and that Earthlight is the rightful favourite?
I do pretty much agree with you, to be honest. I'm not sure he'll go off favourite, but I think Mum's Tipple could win it. I thought it was a really good piece that Simon Turner did in the paper there the other day about how this is the best, you know, middle park in 20 years in ratings. And after studying it and, you know, doing a good bit of time, and it ended up coming out on Mum's Tipple, I just thought, I can be very sceptical when a horse puts up that type of performance that he did at York. But the more and more I looked at it, it was just really, really hard to knock. He recorded a brilliant time. We know he goes in this ground. He's drawn 3. I think there's not a whole lot of pace in the race, so I think he will be able to cross across and get on the rail. And if, you know, just think if Oisin can get a good pace into him, I think it'll be very hard to peg back no matter what's coming at him from behind.
One vote for Mum's Tipple. Do we have any more, Kiehl's?
No, I think this is far too hot a race to be betting at that end of the market, to be honest. There's some very, very good horses in here. I mean, I think Earthlight is the wrong favourite. He was backed earlier in the week because the forecast was that we're going to get loads and loads of rain. And it didn't get anywhere near as much. Now, the pre-morning obviously came on heavy ground. If they don't get any rain today, it'll be nearly good to firm tomorrow, which is not necessarily what he wants, and it is what Mum's Tipple wants. But there are other really, really good horses in this race. I mean, Threat, for instance. He's won the Jim Crack and the Champagne Stakes, and he's a double figure price. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with the form. He's tough. He's consistent. He's won on the track. Siskin looks good, but I wouldn't be at all surprised if Monarch of Egypt improved past him. He's run behind him twice, but it got closer the second time. And obviously, Aidan O'Brien's won the last two runners of this. So I would, you know, I'm almost tempted to back both Monarch of Egypt and Threat. But it's a really, really good race. I wouldn't be playing at the front end.
No, it's going to be brilliant, isn't it? Are you looking forward to this one, G-Rod?
Yes. Yeah, it's an absolutely cracking race, isn't it? What a top-class two-year-old race it is. I agree with you and James and Kiehl's, so we're probably all wrong. I thought Mum's Tipple should be favourite. I thought that the win at York was wildly impressive. And when I look at those sorts of races, I think to myself, well, you know, had you thrown in Earthlight in that race, or Siskin, or one of these others in that same race as Mum's Tipple won at York, would they have won it just as easily? I don't think they would. I think they would have won the race, Earthlight and Siskin, but it's very hard to believe that they would have, you know, run away from the field in the way that Mum's Tipple did.
I remember Ryan Moore got a ban for use of the whip, didn't he? You know, yes, he did, won by 11 lengths, so, you know.
Yeah, but
it's
but
not
even
like
so,
he could have won by miles further because he was pushed all the way out.
That's right. But even so, I mean, the time stacked up very well, and I think Mum's Tipple is a light winner. The problem, Kills has already sort of alluded to it, really, is there are loads and loads of potential dangers in the race, all at big prices, and obviously Earthlight could also be anything. He was very impressive when winning the morning. So it's not really a bet for me, Mum's Tipple, but I think Mum's Tipple will win.
If you fancy, though, Raffle Prize in the race before, perhaps you almost, and you want to back Mum's Tipple, you might almost want to hold fire there, because if Raffle Prize wins that, it's going to frank the morning form, isn't it? And there'll be a run of money for Earthlight, won't there?
Could well be, yeah.
Don't know, maybe not.
Well, thanks. Pissing all over my theory like that. Thank you, Kiehl's, for backing me up.
Yeah, it could well be. I mean, if she hoses up, you know.
Yeah, but you just said...
If he hoses up ITV, you're going to say, well, look what Raffles Price just done to these, and look what Earthlight did to her. I mean, he did arguably win a shade comfortably, so...
You just said yourself, though, that, you know, Raffle Price is running against a load of horses that aren't in the same quality.
Yeah,
that
I know, but it's still how
that's how it works.
React. Yeah.
Right, let's move on to the Cambridgeshire. The Bet365 Cambridgeshire over a mile and one furlong takes place at 3:40. And hopefully we've got some extra places here, James.
We do indeed. And we're currently in industry best 7 extra places here, so loads to offer. And Good Birthday as our 13-2 favourite, followed by Le Don de Vie at 15-2. Fifth position, 15-2. Lord North, 9-1. Afak, 11-1. Bedouin's Story, 12-1. Morden, 14-1. Jazeel, 14-1. Majestic Don, 14-1. And 20-1 bar.
Right, each way, fifth to 7 places. That's available at Paddy Power and also the Racing Post app. Kills, all you've got to do is find one to finish in the first 7.
Well, yeah, exactly, yeah. I mean, I had a couple of punts earlier in the week when I thought the ground was going to be soft, and funny enough, the one that's shortened the most, Bedouin Story, is the one that's going to be most inconvenienced by not being soft. So I can't imagine that he'll be only 12-1 on the day. He'll drift again. I think he can still possibly run well, but I'd prefer the other one of those two, Morden, who does have form on fast ground. I think he prefers it soft, but I mean, he was second to Wissahick on last year. He's £9 higher now, but he deserves it. And he's got this Marco Gianni on, who is really, really good. But, I mean, when you've got 7 places to play for, I mean, I think you're duty-bound to have a smash at a price. And I'm going to go for an old stager called Nicholas T of Jim Goldie's. Now, you know, it can be quite hard to get your head around a horse improving at the age of 7. But his last 4 runs are the 4 best of his life. He was second at Ayr last week. He's one of only 3 horses who's actually officially well in this handicap, because he's gone up £3 for that, but runs off his old mark. Jim Goldie's real mustard at keeping these old horses on the go. He trained Nanton to be second, third and fourth for the ages of 6, 7 and 9 in this race. And I just think Nicholas T, who was drawn next to the 2 favourites, just could run a massive price. He's a 50-1 shot. I think 5 places, 10-1 to finish in the first
7 places.
7 places, 10-1 to finish in the first 7 is pretty damn good value.
Nicholas T, ridden by Ben Robinson. Blimey, that's a left field selection. What's your main tip going to be here, G-Rod?
I think Lord North will win it for John Gosden again. Won it last year, obviously. Wissahick on, very similar type, lightly raced, potential improver. It's only run once in handicaps, and that was last time at Ascot. It was outpaced by Bless Him, but Bless Him's a very smart sort on his day. He'd come right back to form in his last 2 runs. And I thought that Lord North shaped like he would improve a lot for a step up in trip that day. And he's obviously going to be getting a really strong run, 9 furlongs. I think that Lord North will win, but as Kiehl says, you've got to be having a little each way play. I won a bigger price with so many places on offer, and my shout would be Beringer. For Alan King. This always strikes me as a bit tripless between a mile and 1 mile and 2 furlongs. So the fact that we're going 1 mile and 1 here might be absolutely ideal. He travels very strongly over 1 mile and 1/4 and doesn't always find as much as you think he's going to. And he did win over 1 mile at the track earlier in the year. So provided the ground isn't too soft, most of his best form is on quick ground. I could see Berenger running really well around 25s.
Righty-ho, the lads seem to be having two selections here, justifiably with so many runners. James, you can have two as well. Who's your main one?
I really like Majestic Dawn here, especially at the price in comparison to Good Birthday. I was a little bit worried he wouldn't get in during the week, but he has managed to sneak in down the bottom. I think the drop down and trip of an extra furlong will really help him. Basically, he goes off really hard in front, and he has over a mile four and a mile two this year in some of the biggest handicaps of the year, running the London Gold Cup earlier on in the year and then running a Newmarket in July, and they've kind of put him away and kept him for this since. He's finished ahead of Good Birthday twice now, and he's also getting £3 extra from him, and he's double the price than what he is. I think he's going to set a real proper test from the front, and I can just see him keep galloping all the way to the line. I really can't see him outside the top seven. I think he'll run really well.
Okay, just the one tip for you?
Just the one.
Good lad. Okay, excellent. Let's do Haydock next.
So, doesn't each way bet mean that my horse has to do part of the race in reverse?
Everyone loves a newbie. That's why Paddy Power Games are giving all new customers 60 free spins on daily jackpot games. New Paddy Power Games customers only. One per customer. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
Okay, as well as those four sensational races at Newmarket, ITV4 are also showing a couple at Haydock. The first is the 205. It's the download the app at Virgin Bet Handicap. Over a mile. James, how do Paddy Power bet on this?
Yeah, Mitchum Swagger is our 5-2 favourite, followed by Barristan the Bold 7-2, Dubai Dominion 9-2, Micmac 13-2, Gabriel the Wire 8-1, Club Wexford 10-1 and 14-1 bar.
Graham Rodway, you can go first.
Yeah, one of my better bets on the day, Mitchum Swagger in this one. Absolutely hacked up here at Newmarket towards the end of last season on soft ground, the listed race. Must have testing ground. He's old favourite of ours, isn't he? Since then he's been a little bit disappointing, but last time out at Ascot he was drawn on the wrong side on soft ground in the Hunt Cup, and King Rafe has given him a nice long break since, with obviously an autumn campaign in mind, because all of his best form is with Carton at this time of year. He goes well fresh, and he gets in nicely at the top of the weights. This is a 0-105, and he runs off 105. He's just come down £2 the weights. So I think he's got a class edge.
Lovely, and extra points for the use of King Rafe there, G-Rod. Well done. James, who do you like here?
I'm going for Dubai Dominion. I ended up coming down between Mitchum Swagger and Dubai Dominion. Just at the price, I ended up siding with Dubai Dominion. Basically, the last day was his first run off a break. Ran a really competitive conditions race on soft ground, so we know he goes on it. He's obviously by pivotal, but he was just beaten by Kazar, who obviously came out and won again. And Vanberg was just ahead of him as well, or just behind him, who's rated 104. So I think there could be still a little bit of juice in this guy's mark off 99. So I think he'll run really well, and he's round about an each way price. So I can see him. Very hard to see him being out of the top three anyway.
Kiels, we're not absolutely certain what the ground's going to be like at Newmarket, but I think we can assume it's going to be pretty testy.
Yeah, it's going to be sticky at Haydock. Always, whenever there's rain around, Haydock seem to get most of it, don't they? And that's what's happened. So, yeah, heavy ground. We'll get some idea this afternoon just how bad it is. I like Barristan the Bold. So between the three of us, we've managed to give him the first three in the betting. Barristan the Bold does a strong finish in third at Chester last time. That was on decent ground, but it was in a good class two handicap, that was. And he's only run on soft ground once this season, but that was first time out. And he was a strong finish in third over 7.5 furlong at Chester. He hasn't always looked the strongest finisher at a mile, which could be a worry. But having looked at his race at a mile, a lot of the time he seems to have been beaten before the trip was an issue. So, he's bred to get it. And he's just a three-year-old on the up, I think.
Okay, and the other ITV4 race at Haydock is the 3.15. It's the Virgin Bet Handicap over 5 furlongs. Give us a show, James.
Came From the Dark is our 7-2 favourite. Acclaim the Nation 11-2. True Mason 6-1. Camacho Chief 9-1. Mackinat 9-1. There's another four other horses at 9-1. It's 10-1 bar, and we're also 4 places in this race as well.
Lovely stuff, and we'll stick with you for the winner.
I'm going with Sahek here. When I first started kind of studying this race, I always kind of would have classified him as a horse that probably needed a better surface. He's been pretty consistent through the year, even on the all-weather. But I went back and watched his start 3 runs ago, and he ran really well behind a horse of Paul Midgley's called Orvar. It's pretty strong form, and Acclaim the Nation is also in this, who's second favourite. And this guy's 10-1. And he was a little unlucky that day, just the way he kind of didn't get a clear run and then stayed on really well at the finish. He's getting a very valuable £7 off. I think Angus Villiers will be a jockey that we'll be hearing a lot about over the coming weeks and at the start of next season as well, with the claim that he has. So I think even on this heavy ground, another £7 off, he's dropping down in the weights. I think he could go very close.
Jolly good, Kiels. Who do you like?
I can echo everything he says about Sahag. It's quite interesting. The connection do think he actually prefers a bit of cut as well. And if he'd have got a decent run, he might have won that race at Donny. But there is a horse in this race that could just blow it wide apart, and that is True Mason of Carl Burke's. Now, this time last year, he ran second in the Group 2 Mill Reef Stakes, having already been placed in a Morney and a pre-Robert Papin. And approaching the final furlong, he was cantering all over them. And it was soft ground, but he didn't stay. And he ended up finishing second. He still got put up to a mark of 109 then. And he was late coming back this year. He's either run on the wrong ground or over the wrong trip. He went too fast on soft ground over 6 furlongs at Dover last time. I think he's a proper 5 furlong sprinter. He's down to a mark of 95. In his weekender column this week, Burke said he could be very interesting if he's still the horse I think he is.
Whoa.
You know, and
I'm liking,
you know, he has 5 furlongs on bad ground for the first time in his life. And it could just suit him down to the ground. I can understand Came From The Dark being favourite, having won quite easily last time, and he's 2 from 3 at Haydock, but that was a 0-85, and now he's £10 higher in a 0-105. Completely different class of race. And I think if True Mason goes anywhere near the Millwheel form, he'll win without coming off the bridle.
Wow, follow that one, Gerard. That's the case of the postcast so far.
That was a good one, but I think that Came From The Dark will win. I just looked at this race and I thought it was full of exposed out of form sprinters, and there was one horse in it who was going forward, and that is Came From The Dark. Now, I know that Kills has obviously ripped his form apart because he has been running in significantly lower grades, and there's no doubt about that, and he is £10 higher, but I mean, he could hardly have done it any more impressively last time out of this course. His previous victory at the course sort of came on testing ground, and that was by 3.5 lengths. I think he's won twice over the trip at the course, and his distances add up to like 6 or 7 length wins in short sprint races, which is a hell of a feat. And you get these horses
tailed off on the ground there as well. Once,
he did, although it was that at 6, I can't remember. But anyway, the you get these horses that just absolutely love Haydock, and particularly Haydock when it gets testing. And I thought Came From The Dark had the look of one of those.
Okay. Some interesting cases. I'm going to have the forecast, but remind me what price True Mason is there, James?
It's 6-1 currently.
6-1. Did Kills convince you there, or are you going to stick with your original?
I'm going to stick with my original. I just think he might be a bit lost. I nearly stood side with him when I first started looking at it. I thought he was a really, really interesting horse, but I just don't like the way he's finishing at the Flying Five the last day. I'm not sure he's a horse that's just truly in love with the game, and that's how I ended up going off him.
Less than 5 lengths.
We shall see. A very interesting race. Right then, elsewhere on Saturday, we've got the Curra, we've got the rest of Haydock, the rest of Newmarket, Chester, Market Raisin, Navan, Ripon and Chelmsford. Loads to get stuck into. Kills, you've got a long list here. It looks like there's enough ammo there for a Goliath. So
I don't think a super Goliath has been invented yet, but there's more than enough for that.
Go on then, speak for them.
Yeah, we'll start Chester 210, White Fountain Fairy. Just thought he went really well on soft ground 2 starts ago. Gets it again, wants a strong pace. There will be one. He's drawn in 10, which ain't the best, but I mean, he's got a great chance. 320 Restorer probably lost his
320
way.
320 where?
Sorry, Chester again. We're still at Chester. 320 Restorer probably lost his way a little bit, but he's been running largely over 1.4 furlongs on fast ground, and last time 1.6 on soft ground, which he never had any chance of staying. He's back down to his proper trip. 1.5 miles. He's landed a gamble here before, ran really well here. He's off a mark of 87. He went off single figure price off 101 at the start of the season. Another one who wants soft ground in the 420 is Fanny by Gaslight. Mick Shannon's got stall one, ran really well last time at Ayr, extraordinarily well handicapped last year's end of season soft ground form. Cold Stare ran in the Ayr Gold Cup last week. I mean, only finished midfield, first run after a wind up, but wants softer ground, gets it at Ripon in the 335. Over at Haydock, Ptarmigan Ridge, 240 Haydock. I mean, I'd be tempted to back him each way, even though he'll only be about 4-1, because he's been second 8 times in his life and only won twice, but he likes Haydock, he likes soft ground, and it's a weaker race than last time. 450 Newmarket, Caspian Queen beat Graceful Magic Goodwood last time. May have been a shade lucky, but the winner's up £15 since, having run second in the Group 3 to the horse that was fourth in that Goodwood race. That's rock solid form, and she's quite a big price for Richard Hughes, who also trains Ptarmigan Ridge. 5.25 at Newmarket. Riviera Knights won at Ascot last time after a wind operation. Trainer said afterwards he'll come on a lot for that as well. So I imagine he can go in again, and he won't be a bad price. And over at Market Raisin, Jumps is coming. Scarlet Dragon, been very highly tried over hurdles in the five starts. He's running three graded races. He was fourth in the big final at Sandown at the end of last season. Been running well on the flat. Got a mark of 132. He's better than that.
Well done. A 10p each way. How many are there? Eight?
Well, there's eight there.
There's eight. So 10p each way Goliath would cost you £49.40. Could be the wisest £49.40 you spend all weekend. Because it could go wrong as well. G-Rod, what have you got to add to Achilles' mountain of tips?
Luckily, I've only got one that overlaps him, and that is in the 4 o'clock at Market Raisin, because like Kills, I can't wait for the Jumps to get going now. It's that time of year, and it got a couple more weeks to be at that good Chepstow meeting in Cheltenham. So in the 4 o'clock at Market Raisin, we've got a listed handicap hurdle, and Achilles is tipping, I think, Scarlet Dragon. But it just caught my eye that Dan Skelton's got Mahayad in there off a massive weight, and is keeping the weights right down for his other one, Azuri, who has been very impressive when winning at the end of last season over Fences at Ayr. And as a result, he gets in here off 10 stone 13. Now, if you took Mahayad out, he'd be almost top weight. I mean, he would be top weight, actually. So that looks like a bit of a plot job, that Azuri in the 4 o'clock at Market Raisin, and then obviously off to Chelmsford, my local track, yeah, where I have plenty of winners there, although I didn't have any at the last meeting. It was quite expensive, and I've got to find my notes here. 6.20 at Chelmsford, Highbrow, yeah, this one for David Simcock. His best run came at Chelmsford, finished fourth, stayed on well down the outside. Behind a useless, I can't remember the name of it, but it was about three or four starts ago. He's sort of lost his way since, but the trainer's slapping on some cheek pieces and returned to Chelmsford a mile and a quarter. I thought that might bring the best out of Highbrow in the 6.20 at Chelmsford. And then in the 7.20 at Chelmsford, there's a quite a decent 1 mile, 6 furlong handicap. And I thought that Ulster had a good chance if he could come back to his best form for Archie Watson. He's got some solid form on the all-weather. Seems to have lost his way recently, but it's come down in the weights as a result. And he's booked Kate Lee, claiming 7. Now, I don't know a lot about her, but she has had 2 wins and 3 seconds for the yard from only 19 rides. So for a £7 claimer, you know, that's nearly 25% of them are finishing in the first two. So that's by no means a negative. Kate Lee riding Ulster in the 7.20 at Chelmsford.
Okay. So you're both up for the Jump season, but wasn't it sad news that Top of the Game's going to miss the season, Kill?
Yeah. Really? Yeah. I mean, you'll have three or four before the start of the season that are going to miss it. And it's, you know, the problem is that they never really come back when they miss a season. Very few do.
No, that was a bit of a blow. But as you say, we've got so much to look forward to. We've got the climax of the flat and, of course, the start of the Jumps proper. James, who do you like away from the glare of the ITV cameras?
Yeah, briefly, I really like White Fountain Ferry, pretty much for everything that Paul was saying there. I just think the strong pace and got very unlucky the last day at Chester. I think that'll go very close in the 2.10 at Chester. The 4.50 at Newmarket, it's a really competitive nursery. It's got a Paul put up Caspian Queen, but I'm going to put up Dutch Painting. We're also 4 places in this. I just think it's a horse that's improved on every start. The last day it beat Festival Day, who's obviously has a right chance in the Rockville today, but we'll see how that form works out. But it's in here off 79. It just looks quite a lenient mark when Festival Day could potentially be a 100-plus horse, so I think she could still be well ahead of her mark. It's interesting then that Ryan's booked, and he's a 50% strike rate this year with Michael Bell. The Curra hosts a couple of decent races. The Renaissance Stakes at 2 o'clock is a pretty competitive race that Speaking Colour should win for Joseph O'Brien. The Loch Brown Stakes, Capri is running in it. He'll hopefully be getting his head back in front, and there's a very progressive filly in there from Dermot Well called Castaza, who's won 4 of her last 5 starts. And we're also 4 of the 8 races at the Curra are extra place races, so there's kind of a bit there for everyone, whoever wants to have a bet.
Lovely stuff. Who was that horse in the 4.50 at Newmarket that you tipped?
Dutch Painting.
Oh, I had a word for that. Apparently it looked an absolute picture last time.
Very good.
Thank you. Let's get the naps.
This will not be beaten.
Who are you going to go for, Graham Rodway?
Sorry, I just moved on to Sunday, just to, and then I lost my thread. It's running at Haydock 2:10, I think, is it?
I don't know, you tell me.
Yeah, it's Mitcham Swagger, obviously.
Yeah, it's Mitcham Swagger. What race is that in?
2:05.
No, it's not that one, is it? No, yeah, I'm sorry, I'm back onto today now. We're going all over the shop here. It is Mitcham Swagger in the 2:05 at Haydock.
Cheers, mate. I can't keep up. Who do you fancy, Kiehl's?
I'll go True Mason in a 3:15 at Haydock.
And James, who do you like?
I'm going for Majestic Dawn, the 3:40 in the Cambridge Tour, which we're 7 places on.
Brilliant stuff. Let's do Sunday next.
I'm Jose Mourinho. I know a thing or two about being special. English Manager of the Year 3 times, special. Winning the daily jackpot on Paddy Power games, not special.
Understood, Jose. Yes, someone wins an average £40,000 jackpot every single day. So if you win, don't think you're special. Daily jackpots by Paddy Power Games. Jackpots must be awarded by 11 p.m. and vary from day to day. Jackpot is shared with other operators. Available on selected games. T's and C's at paddypower.com. 18+.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. Bruce Millington, Paul Keighley, Graham Rodway and Paddy Power's James Ryan. Looking ahead to some good stuff on the Sunday. We've got the Curragh, we've got Epsom and we've got Musselburgh. Two group races at the Curragh. Well, the first one is the 250. It's the World Park Stakes. James, no betting, but hopefully a winner. What have you got?
Yeah, I think Aidan O'Brien is love locket in here, and it's interesting that it's his only entry, but God, like, she just looked really impressive. Even though she was fourth, like, she cost 700 grand as a yearling, first of all, but she just, the way she didn't get any sort of run, Dunica was really teaching her, and you could just tell that she had a hell of a lot of talent in her. So I wouldn't be shocked if she was to run really well here and think she could run, you know, she could step up hugely, and she's a half-sister to the very good Raqib Al-Hawa of David Simcox as well, so wouldn't be surprised if she took a big step forward and won this.
Kiehl's, who's going to win the 250 at the Curragh on Sunday?
I just don't know the form well enough in those two races, so I'll leave him.
G-Rod?
I quite like Know It All for Johnny Murta. Last time out, this one finished 7th in the debutant stakes. Would have finished a lot closer, but got shorter room towards the end of the race, and the jockey just let her come home in her own time then. So I think the winner of that race, Alpine Star, is pretty useful. Jesse Arrington's got some smart 2-year-old fillies this year, and that is one of them, Alpine Star. I think Know It All's dropping in class here from Group 2 to Group 3. It might just do the trick, and it might be a decent price as well, given it's trained by Johnny.
Okay, we'll stick with you for the 4:00. It's the Beresford Stakes, Group 2 over a mile for 2-year-olds. G-Rod, who's your selection here going to be?
Yeah, this is the race that Aidan O'Brien's won God knows how many of, and he's like 9 of the last 10 or something ridiculous. And I think that Cormorant will probably win it for him here. Sorry, I've lost the race on my thing. Shamey Heffernan's been booked for this one. Ryan's on the other one. But I thought the piece of form last time out went 5th at Leopardstown. That was the best piece of form on offer. Mogul won it for the stable, who obviously seems to be one of their leading lights. And I thought that Cormorant ran on nicely. So Cormorant in the Beresford.
Cormorant, okay. And who do you like here, James?
Yeah, it's a good race. I think Innisfree is probably the one of Aidan's. I think the horse that he beat in Galway the last day, Shechem, is up here again, who's obviously come out and won since. But the word that day at Galway is that Innisfree was a real proper horse, and he's out of that good mare Palace that Aidan had a couple of years ago. I just think he'll be hard to beat. I can see him jumping forward and just being a big galloping horse and improving for the extra furlong as well. I think he'll go very close.
Kiehl's, if I had to describe, if you had to describe a cormorant, what would you say it looks like?
Wouldn't know.
Do you know what sort of species it is?
No.
You don't?
No.
Do you, G-Rod?
Bird?
Yeah.
There you go.
No, I wouldn't have known that.
You wouldn't have known that?
No, I'm not up on my birds, though.
It's like it's a seabird, a dark-coloured seabird with a really long neck and a long...
Now you mention it, yeah.
All right, I wouldn't have known that.
Anything else on Sunday? The rest of the Curragh card, Epsom, there's a win and you're in race there. It's quite an interesting heat. And Musselburgh as well, Kiehl's.
A couple of Epsom. I'm available 3:35. Andrew Balding, filly, was in pretty good form in the spring until running in the Sandringham Handicap, which tried to make the run in a field of 27. Very hard to do that sort of thing, and you know she might not have been up to it anyway. But much calmer waters won't mind the ease in the ground. That'll go well. Dorado, Patrick Chairman's 5:15 Epsom. Has won twice here, another one that won't mind any cut in the ground. Had first run for 3 months last time at Chelmsford. Kieran Fallon, takes £3 off. He's well enough handicapped on his past form there. And in a 3:45 at Musselburgh, Desert Ace finally got his head back in front at Beverley last time. Has won at Musselburgh. He's more suited to Beverley, it has to be said. But has won at Musselburgh. He's still £5 lower than he started the season, so could go close again.
Are you a fan of young Fallon?
Yeah, big fan of young Fallon. There are some very good apprentices coming up this year, as there are nearly every year. I mean, he looks like the real deal. But I think Marco Gianni and Angus Villiers are both very good as well, and they're still claiming 7.
Excellent. G-Rod, what else have you got for us on Sunday?
Yeah, the 305 at Epsom. 305 Epsom. I've got 305 Sandown written down on my notes.
Don't go to Sandown, whatever you do.
305 at Epsom. Exec Chef, who ran well at Sandown a few starts ago, he actually finished close up fourth in a hot race won by Jazeel. My Cambridgeshire selection, Beringer, was second in that race, and Hyanna was third. And Hyanna's obviously gone on the front of form by winning the track since. Exec Chef has not been in quite the same form since, but I think it's worth taking a chance on him bouncing back to form. Jim Boyle at Epsom has plenty of winners there, obviously local track. And the 3:15 at Musselburgh, Kylie Rules won nicely on testing ground at Fersk a few starts ago and then bounced back to form when third behind Warriff last week at Ayr. And I just thought Kylie Rules had the conditions in her favour.
My missus is always saying how concerned she is about that I'm losing my memory because I keep stumbling over words or whatever. I'm going to show her this postcard and say, look, that bloke's 20 years younger than me. What have you got for us, James?
The 3:35 in Epsom, Desarius. She's been a filly that's been on my radar for quite a long time since her head second to Cabala as a maiden. So she's just been running well. I think she could run well. It's a fairly competitive race, though, but she's the one that I'll only really be keeping an eye out for on the Sunday.
Jolly good. James, weekend plans, what are you up to?
Yeah, I'm running a half marathon tomorrow.
Wow.
And then off to the Curragh then on Sunday. We've a little horse run ourselves. So
have you? Whoa. What's its name?
Zion Express, but he needs to qualify for the auction race, so he needs to probably come in the first three, but it's a tricky one. I'd say Michael O'Callaghan's horse is quite a nice horse that's running in it.
Oh, good luck with that, and good luck with the marathon. Is that just a half marathon? Is that just for fun, or are you raising money?
Yeah, raising a bit of money for the Pat Smullen Cancer Fund.
Oh, brilliant.
But, the ultimate marathon is the end goal, but we're just trying to survive it, I think, at this stage.
So if anyone backs a winner tomorrow and they want to put a few quid the way of James, who's running a half marathon for that fantastic cause, the Pat Smullen, they can follow you on Twitter, James, and get a link, can they?
Yeah, they can indeed, and we'll have a link up.
And what is your Twitter's handle?
James Ryan 1207. Very original.
That's not bad. Excellent. Good luck with that. Kills, I don't think you're running a half marathon, are you?
I might eat a full one.
are you doing?
I am probably... my daughter's 18th birthday party is tomorrow, and I don't know whether I need to stay sober and look after them, just let them get on with it. But I'll probably let them get on with it, and I'll go out and have a good...
But they're not going to want you around the place, are they? Organising...
Yeah, I know. Well, no, exactly. But you never know. I don't even know whether the parents of her boyfriend who's hosting the party know that they're having it.
My goodness. So, but, why are they hosting it, not you?
Because their parents are not there.
Okay, watch this,
oh, there we go.
Yeah, this could be one of those Facebook parties. Yeah, we better keep quiet about details.
I won't tell you where it is. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, no. I'll be out watching the racing. I have no idea. No plans Sunday at all.
You could go to Epsom on Sunday, couldn't you?
Could go to Epsom, yeah.
Not
the most interesting car, but I could take a little waddle up there.
You never know. Take the dog.
Aye.
What about you, G-Rod? Have you got a fun weekend lined up?
Well, I am live tipster on Saturday, Sunday I'm off. Yeah. And I did describe to Kills, I just got one of those insignificant days off. You know, I just don't know really what to do with it on Sunday. No doubt the missus will come up with some, plan that I can just about barely stand. So we'll see.
Go to Epsom, you'd barely be able to stand after the fourth or fifth race.
I'm worth a go with you. That's
Absolutely.
Well, no, we, 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 We went there a few years ago, so drunk, we went for a meal in the Derby Arms afterwards.
Yes.
And I tried to convince everyone to do a runner without paying for the meal.
Yeah, I remember that word.
And I did a runner, and everybody else stayed there.
That's been the most unsuccessful runner the size of you. I mean, I think they caught you after about 5 yards.
I mean, they all chickened out. Like, you know.
Wasn't that the time you came back with all the cream eggs?
Oh, yeah, I was so drunk. I got home, and my missus came home from work, and she said, why is there a carrier bag full of Cadbury's mini eggs in the porch? I'm like, I don't know. There's great big tubes of them like that.
Superb. Okay, thank you, James. Thank you, Kiel. Thank you, G-Rod. Thank you for watching. Maddie is back on Monday with our review postcast. We've got golf on Wednesday, football on Thursday, and then next Friday we are back to look ahead to another great weekend of racing. And, of course, can Enable be the Queen of Paris for a third year running?
Paddy Power Games has over 250 of your favourites to play online, and we're going to attempt to name them all in this 10-second ad before the T's and C's kick in. There's Blackjack, 18+, bgambleaware.org.